between blood group and some small, they're subtle, but they're there. Some of them may not be because of the blood group, they may be because of what the blood group represents or ethnic differences in people or whatever, I'm not sure. But how would you study that? So let's, I'm trying to look at the example he was thinking of. Peptic ulcer. Yeah, so peptic ulcer, I mean, that back then, ulcers were all thought to be from stress. Now I think we know a lot of the ulcers are from H. pylori, which is a bacterium, I think. Huh? But how would you study that? So we have cancer of the stomach, peptic ulcer, and so on, toxemia. And this is interesting because it brings up two things, one to do with his formula, but another to do with the design of studies again. So how would you study this? How would you think he studied it? Probably case control, yeah. And if we want to take cancer of the stomach, it's probably a good one to think of, right? White rather than peptic ulcer. And I think cancer of the stomach would be better because you at least know you can find all the cancers of the stomach in a certain city for a certain time, right? Probably. Some will actually die without ever knowing that that's what it was, a few. But most of the time you'll have pathology records that actually show this was a gastric cancer. Not a very common cancer anymore. In most of the world, right? Yeah, and then the factors that affect it. So he's thinking about blood group. So you're going to, in Montreal, let's say, get all the cases of gastric cancer, stomach cancer. And then, very easily, you can probably find the blood group. So in that sense, it's very natural, again, to start with the outcome, right? Instead of calling case control studies, it's outcome-based sampling. So the cancer is the outcome, and you're starting with that. You get all the cases, and you can work out what their characteristics are. And so now the question comes up for something like blood group, where are you going to go to get controls? And what's the purpose of the controls, first of all? What would you say the purpose of controls is in case control studies?
To represent the population from which the cases
came from. Exactly. To know. So basically you're asking, what is the distribution of A, B, A, B, and O, in the population that they came from. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So Mietlin would call this a case base. Cases are the cases, and the base is the base of the population that gave rise to these. And what you want to know is, when you see a certain distribution in the cases, is it the same as the distribution in the population in general, or is there some excesses and so on? So who would you pick as controls here? And one of the neat things here is that you have less things, because once you have a blood group, it stays with you forever. So it's not, the time is kind of less an issue here. Yeah?
I was going to say, if possible, if it's possible to recognize the population from which...
Yeah, but let's say we can. Let's pretend we can, the catchment area that... For the cases, we know the catchment area, and so we will now try to get the blood group distribution in the catchment area of the case. Yeah. Yeah?
I mean, maybe I'm being greedy, but like, won't the records be pretty good about blood types? So you could take the whole catchment area, like the whole city? I mean, I know there's diminishing returns.
Do you know yours?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look up mine. Do you know your blood group?
Something.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust you. yeah, you see what I mean? I'm not sure everyone knows.
But like, wouldn't it be in our records or something like that?
That's a great thing. It's got to be somewhere. The government has it.
Yeah.
I love that excuse, but it's not true. You okay. Find. Want to find out who are all the people in Montreal that have been vaccinated for this, that, and the other thing? Good luck. Good luck finding that. It isn't in one computer. In Scandinavia it is, but here in Quebec it isn't. And most other places in North America, it's very hard to find. Their individual parents have them. They're stuck away in doctor's offices. The doctor retired. God knows what. Good luck if you want. Yeah. There's very few things solid. The only thing, and that's prescriptions now for people my age, over, you know, prescriptions by doctor are in the database. Whether I took them is another story, but they're there. Yeah. But not for your age. So there's holes everywhere. Yeah, so But I mean, one thing you could do is look, if you know this gastric case of cancer, the pathologist tell you about, I mean, you could run up to the hospital and see if the person is still there and get their blood group. Yeah, but you're not likely to get it in time, they're gone home. But you could probably find their blood group in the medical record. Yeah, I'm sure that would be in the medical record for just about anything.
Right.
Yeah. But now who would you use then? Could you use the 10 patients before them as controls?
The 10 patients that...
Yeah, let's say this patient had an operation for gastric cancer a month ago. You get their blood group. Why not take the 10 operations before that? I'm just... The main thing is we want some sample, and we're trying to be cheap about it. We don't have a big budget, right?
That would be faulty because you're basically using an hospital control. And
right, and so there's big warnings against hospital controls.
Like same doctors?
But you guys get into all kind of biases and so on. But I'm saying be careful here in the textbook case. I think you might get away with the thing. You might get away with it here. Do people, A, B people, go to hospital more often than O people?
No, I think that's more with genotype than clinical.
Yeah. It's hard to believe if it is affecting other things, yes, but I think it has small effects. Yeah.
But like if the premise of the study is that people with a certain blood type have more stomach cancer, then maybe blood type affects other things as well.
Yeah, so in that sense, yeah. What else? So we leave out hospital controls. And I never like going to hospitals to find... You don't find the political poll people. You know, Leger and Leger, Epsis Reed. When they're looking for people, hospitals are a fast place to find stuff. You're there, you're stuck. They could interview you. They don't go there. Why? Because they're not representative of the population for general things. So, but they're there. It's done because of convenience. First study of case control, study of lung cancer was done with other hospital control. It's usually convenience, cheapness, and the beauty of it is if you have to ask questions, it keeps the questions neutral in the sense you're going to ask everybody and people don't realize that you're asking about lung cancer or you have something and they think you're interested in something, and you can blind it to what you're interested in. But you can't do that when you call home to somebody and say, would you do a survey for me? What's it about? Gastric cancer. I don't have gastric cancer. Why are you calling me? That's early. Yeah, so that's part of the problem. Okay, any other possibilities? Besides captive populations like that? Well, there's something nice about blood. What is it? We have a blood bank. We have the Red Cross, don't we? Right? Would that help? Could you go to Red Cross and say, hey guys, you do a lot of blood typing every day. My God, you must know the city backwards.
But they're always recruiting like people with positive stuff. Like
you. Oh, are they? Oh. Oh, okay, so that ruins it. So that would throw off.
Yeah,
they're looking for the rarer types?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were onto something. Anyway, but that's what he did. That's what Wolf did. He went to the blood banks.
Maybe they recruited less.
I think so. Yeah. He went to the blood banks. Yeah. Okay. So he was only looking at these two groups, I guess. So he had peptic ulcer, this many, and they hit in different places, this many. So the cases are these ones, you get them from the hospital, right, or wherever, doctors, and they would have the blood bank. And then these, I'm pretty certain, came from the blood bank. Right? And he could have had many, many more here, couldn't he? The blood bank has more than this. But I think he must have asked them, maybe he matched them on residence or something like that to be likely, so he could, or on age or ethnic group or something like that. So he probably did something there to match them on this, because this is nearly infinite, isn't it? And then, once he does that, he has, Do you ever see this notation? He has a 1.45 here, which is his odds ratio, but it really is a rate ratio of some type. It's a rate ratio. It looks like an odds ratio, but it really is a rate ratio. Right? And then he has the variance of it. See? Why do you think he called? Why does it look like that with those letters? Large and small letter. Do you ever see people doing large and small letters? The genetics people love large and small letters. They have big A and small e for the two E alleles or whatever they're called. Yeah. But I think actually what it is, why does he give these small letters and these big letters? Yeah. I think it's nice. He actually thinks of these as the more unstable one, and these are the more stable ones. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of nice what he's doing. You know, he'd like to have a capital H among the control of the cases as well, but anyway, yeah, it's small. And so anyway, that's the formula. And this is Wolf, right? And then he does it for other areas as well. But the only thing I would ask at this point is, let's say this wasn't peptic ulcer, but that this was ovarian cancer. A woman's cancer. Who can be the source of controls, population-based sample, for ovarian cancer? What are the rules in all the epi books about who's eligible to be a control? Because I think you're going to see here that they're silly rules if we apply them blindly. What are the rules about case control? Who can be a control in a case control set? The most...
Somebody
that would have gotten ovarian cancer. So right away, who does that limit it to? Women who don't have ovaries, or who do have their ovaries intact. Yeah. So my question is, suppose the blood bank says, I can give you the men's blood group, but I can't give you the women's for some crazy reason. Huh? Would you take them? Would you take the distribution of blood groups in men instead of women, for the cases being women?
Given no other options, I might take it.
Yeah, and why would you say, and why if you're trying to write it now and you're getting all sorts of pushback from the reviewers, they say, come on, look at, any textbook will tell you the cases have to be, the controls have to be eligible to become cases. And this is a clear example where is it clear here that that rule doesn't really apply? And what is it that makes it not apply? It doesn't apply. Why? So it's a silly rule, because you're making rules for the sake of rules. It's, yes, from the base from which they, whatever. It would be nice to have it for the women. But what's special about blood group? It has nothing to do whether you're a man or a woman. Genetics work equally for men and women. So that what you really want is what? This is to be a fair sample that gives you a sense of the distribution in the base. Right? But this, in fact, the other thing is have to be able to, let's say this was done this year, and let's say this was done 2 years ago. So the cases and the controls are off by 2 years. Again, are you going to complain? Let's say it's women and women, but it's 2 years ago it's controls. So they're not the same people. Our next year's controls. See what I mean? So this business of being eligible to be is case control studies are always strange. People make up rules because it's a strange animal. And I think we get in big trouble with ourselves for nothing. And what you're really trying to say is, what's the best estimate of the distribution of these two in the base from which they came? So a fair and representative and unbiased sample is fine, but they don't have to be, you know, people make up rules about eligibility of this, that is missing the point. Right? Yeah. The other point is, what is it about, about odds ratio? Remember, this whole thing about case control studies, you learn about when is the odds ratio the same as the risk ratio?
Right.
when you have rare disease. Is that really the issue? Right? And then when you take a control, must the control not have the cancer? Are they, can the control be somebody who has the cancer or the peptic ulcer?
It depends on when you sample, like before.
Well, yeah, but they're sampling here at the time. They're sampling at the time. How do we know that some of those people in H and K haven't got cancer? And if they had, would it matter? No. What you want is how many are type in the population, how many are type this and how many are type that. Isn't that all you want? So listen to what Wolf says. And honestly, it's the best piece of epi I've seen in the whole thing about case controlling. He says, you can't do these in the usual way. You have to think of it as a case control. But he says, even when the essential differences in blood group frequencies and population have funny things, this kind of artifact is avoided if one works with incidence rates in the various blood groups. What he's basically saying is in epi, people think of comparing the cases with the controls. Isn't that the way we are taught? You compare, and you have two columns, cases, controls, how different are they, how similar are they, whatever. Is that really what you want? What you want to be able to tell people is the incidence rate in blood type this is this, the incidence rate in blood type that is that. So what you're really interested in, as Mietkin said, you want to compare exposed and unexposed. You don't want to compare rates in those. You don't want to compare something in the case and controls. Controls are numerators. How would you do that? You were talking about the population of A type and B type or whatever the blood groups are. What are the rates in those two groups? If you do a case control study, you can't figure that out, but you can figure out the ratio. Right? Isn't that what we're told? So now, that, the data don't use a per calculation of absolute rates. Why not? Why can't you get absolute rates of peptic ulcer in the one blood group and the other group? Because we have no idea of what the total population of London is, right? And to have an absolute rate, you'd have to have the total population of London in the two groups. All we have is a relative split of the two, so we have an idea one to the other. And look what he says. They don't permit it, so we can't get absolute rate. Nor are they needed. What is wanted? This is, to me, the core of all of epi case control studies, back before Mietkin, back before everybody, by a geneticist, who's not caught by the nonsense we have today of terminology and your rules and this that. The incident group in group alpha, he's a genetics type, will be H over capital H times some constant. What does he mean by that? H is the number of the cases you found in this group. What's capital H? Actually, H times some constant, I think, is actually the full population of London. See, he's telling you, if you could blow up H, you could get to the full population of London. Right? So he's saying, there is a proper denominator. H times some constant is the proper denominator for all of London, and that would give you the absolute rate. And that in group B would be the same. Right? But you see what the word is here? Look at this. The same constant. Right? And then what happens to that? You don't know it, so you cannot subtract this because you don't know what the constant is. Well, what can you do? You can take a ratio. If you take a ratio of these, the same constant drops out. How many of you are taught epi case control that way? You should be. That's the modern way, started by Wolf in 1950, that says what a case control study. A case control study is the same as the other study, except you don't know the denominators. Isn't that true? You don't know the denominators. So you're using partial denominators. That's all a case control study is. Fancy, fancy, everything else. A case control study has the same numerators as the regular study, but it has estimated ratio of denominators. Estimated ratio of denominators. You see what I mean? So basically here, this whatever it is, 4,000 and 4,000 tells me that in London it's a little bit more H or group O than group A, but barely. Right? But you can blow that by 20 and get the population of London, but it will cancel out anyway. Right? So, and again, there's nothing in it about saying who has to be in this. There could have been some of the cases in here and we don't know it. Doesn't matter. The point is, this is your best estimate of the split of the two blood groups in London. Period. So, estimated denominators is the, to me, defining feature of a controlled series. Not, and then you don't compare cases and controls. You see what he's saying? He's saying you don't do that. You just compare incidence rates, but they're pseudo now because there's a thing that cancels out, but it's fine for the ratio. And that's it. And then there's Jesse, his formula. Right? And that's the formula for the log of the odds ratio, which we can work out in that. And you can see here now, this is the case series, right? This is the denominator series. So Mietten would call this the denominator series. And wouldn't it make more sense to call it a denominator series than a controlled series? Confusion. Less confusion if you called it the denominator series. Mietten called it the base series. He calls these the case series and this the base series. It's a sample of the base to give you an idea of what the distribution is of the factor in the base. And you don't have to worry about anything else. And if you look through, and I'll send you the link, look through and see if in this paper you can find the word log odds ratio. Will you find it here? Will you find the word odds ratio here, do you think? That's right. So we never needed odds ratios for case control studies in the first place. Really. See, Wolf had it. Now, Mietten doesn't like to be told that he wasn't the first one, but he put it more cleanly and brought it in Epi, but still, this was there in Wolf's paper, very clean by a geneticist. And it's still, to me, one of the best. And then he puts together the three groups from... three different areas. So this is where you have like Mantel-Hensel. He's summarizing them by weighted averages now and so on to put the three odds ratio, but the three estimated rate ratios together. But he never uses the word odds in the whole paper. And I think it should be banned from EPI as well, for case controlling anyway. It's fine for odds logistic regression for the Oscars, but for case control studies, what you're really looking at is a comparison of a rate with a rate. That's a rate ratio. And even if you use logistic regression to get there, call it a rate ratio when you're finished, because that's what you're estimating. But talk to the old timers who learned it from the old timers before them, and you can't get away. I've been on a campaign here to try and modernize it, translating Mietten basically, but people learned it from their seniors, and we have odds ratios, rare disease stuff. It's the first thing you learn. And the last thing you shouldn't learn, Okay, that's Wolf. Enough of my sermon for today, okay? I'll send you that. But it's a lovely paper, just the same. And it's a bit of history that, there's a lot in it. Okay, and I'll send you how we get going on this. But I'll say I'm willing to meet with you Monday or Tuesday if you want to get a head start on the conditional, because it's a bit odd and strange the first time you see this kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. Good. So now I guess we'll have to spend today and probably next week as well to finish on the homework you did, and because there's not enough time to cover both today. But at least I want to go over the rent one. The other one we can do next week. Okay, so I had a few notes, and thank you guys all for sending all the stuff last night. So I had given you a data set with rents, right? Where is it? No, wrong place. Yeah, so I'll show you my own later. But now, let me look at the various ones. So, who's KLLM? Who's KLLM? That must be...
I think that's
Hmm?
Kyle Lena, yeah.
That you guys?
No. I mean, our first names are KL.
That's right. Where are you here?
Sorry? Yeah, that's us. Cause
that's it, yeah, okay.
That's my last.
Yeah, okay. Good, okay. That's it, yeah. So let's look at this one, and as I say, we'll do the other one next week with the folic acid. And I think I'll give you a bit more. The folic acid one, I don't think enough people realize, because I wasn't clear enough, that I wanted people to fit smooth curves with time. Some people, I think, only fitted pre and post. I don't know if everyone did it or not. I haven't been through all of those yet. But I'm keen that you fit the full thing rather than just three times, because three times means you're missing which way are things going within the three times. So I think you need to be a bit more structured than that. But I'm not sure. I haven't looked at them all yet. Okay, so let's look at this one. So the question I had, but again, maybe I didn't explain it right, because some people didn't see where I was going. The way I think of it is the real estate guy has a gal, has a spreadsheet with a rating, right? And determinants of the rate. And it seems to be no different what they're doing than if you go to the post office. When I was young, you go to the post office and you wanted to mail a parcel. You wanted to mail a parcel to somebody. What do you think up on the board in the old days, and now probably on the web, is the rate structure for mailing parcels? So,
weight.
Weight, yeah. And then, what else was involved?
Distance.
How far you were going. Yeah, if it was only within the country, going across, going this, going that, air mail versus that. Yeah. But, they didn't put... What I had a feeling that they had a rate, and they calculated the rate and then multiplied that by the size of the parcel. It's not quite as simple as that, but that would be my way of thinking of it, is that you have a rate, and the rate could be $2 per kilo plus something else per kilo if you're going a farther away, plus something else if you're doing this, and plus something else or whatever. Some things in it, like insurance, could be a separate thing that has nothing to do with the weight. So it's a tricky business, right? But there's a rate that is determined by certain things, and then there's other parts to the price that are determined by other things. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, and the reason I found this data set and started using it is,